He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. And continuing, once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For, in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." And so ends the reading of the word.
If you ask pastors, many will confess, privately, if not publicly, that the annual stewardship sermon is their least favorite one of the year. Some dread it. Some won't even do it. In some churches, all they do is just kind of on the sly or on the bottom of a newsletter, there's a cutout for a giving card, and they hope you'll fill it out and send it in. I have a clergy friend who referred to that as the stealth stewardship campaign. Remember, like the stealth bomber? You couldn't see it, but you knew it was there. Some approach it with hesitation and timidity. They're aware that we tend to get a little squeamish and occasionally defensive when we talk about money, how we spend it, how much of it we give to the church. But this time of reflection is necessary. In fact, it should be woven throughout the course of our spiritual journey of faith and not just something that we think about one day or one week a year. Now, in case you couldn't tell, I am not one of those pastors that dreads or is intimidated by this subject. In fact, I look forward to it. Oh, I don't take any perverse delight in laying some kind of a big guilt trip on you. Most of you know by now that's not my style. As a rule, I'm not into shaming or chastising, and for me, that is not at all what stewardship is about. So what is it about? Giving? Well, yes, of course. We all know that. But why? Why give your hard-earned resources to the church? Well, I could give you the practical reason. We have a budget. We have operating expenses, salaries to pay, other bills, just like a home and family, a business, or any other entity. Living and doing just about anything on this earth costs money. There you have it. Okay, let's go eat. Yeah, you know me better than that. The turkey and dressing will wait. Giving to the church is only a little bit about all those practical things. More fully understood, it is as fundamental to our faith formation and spiritual identity as prayer and praise and study of the scriptures in seeking to know the living God who moves among us. It is an act of trust to release something you've worked for, invested in, and to give it away. Trusting that God's grace and care, and through that, you and your loved ones will still have what you need. Now, you will probably never get everything that you want, but you will have what you need. It is an act of faith. Faith that God has a plan for your life and for this congregation, and those plans are interwoven with a beauty and grace that only God's creative power can make. What's more, it reflects a desire to participate in what God is doing. It is a desire to help in the kingdom work for the glory of God. We're not waiting on some heaven light years away. Remember in that passage from Luke, Christ said, "The kingdom of God is among you." Our church's ministry is service of the kingdom of the Most High God. Unfortunately, we tend to limit ourselves because we think too small. We think mustard seed. We say things to ourselves like, "I'm only one person. We're a small church. We're just a little congregation." A guess what? I have news for you. Normally, I'm not that interested in statistics, but I'm going to lay one on you. Recent studies found that among Christian congregations in the United States, over 50% of them averaged attendance of 50 people or less on a Sunday morning. The backbone of American Christianity is not the megachurches like Saddleback in California or Joel Osteen's church or Potter's House in Dallas. It's congregations like ours, living faithfully, day by day, serving God and learning just exactly what the power of God can do. Oh, and by the way, if you were doing the math, our average attendance is almost double over half the congregations in the United States. We are not small. We need to let loose of the limitations we've placed on ourselves and get a sense of our true size. We need to shed the mustard seed mentality and get a sense of our shrubness, if you will. We are not a seed or a seedling or a sapling. We are a tree. And there is much that we can do. We can give shelter and comfort. We can be a place of rest, a place to gather for connection with God and each other, a place where play and growth are nurtured. Oh, there is much that we can do. We really just need to believe. Let God take the wheel and say, "Yes, Lord," when the call comes in. Maybe you remember from your childhood the story about the little train engine that could. Nod your head if you remember that one. He had a big task, a big hill to climb. With some hesitation, but more determination, he started that climb saying to himself, what? I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Then, as his speed and his strength and his momentum began to build, his words changed to, "I know I can, I know I can." Remember that? When we gather as a faith community, we share what we have for the common cause of the ministry of Christ in and through this place. We become so much more together than we were on our own. We get to be a part of making ministry happen. I want you to take a look at some of the things that we've already done. From our days in the bowling alley. Well, as soon as we get it up there. When Cynthia Taylor was in the first youth group, you now know her as Cindy Garrett. We have worshiped together in days ordinary and special. We've had a growing ministry that has shaped lives for generations. We have celebrated milestones with zero parties. We have nurtured students, those who are looking to go into the ministry, like Carolyn Roper Falks, Danny Couch, John Callison. We have shared in the camping and outdoor ministries of our church, and Disciples Crossing has come to have a place in the heart of so many in our church. We have grown some new branches in our tree. We have played together. We have gathered at table together. We have taught children in our own families and community the love and the grace of God through Vacation Bible Camp. through the collection of school kits for Church World Service. Over 100, if you recall, that year, we helped educate children in faraway lands. We've celebrated the story of the birth of Christ and his resurrection. And we have had the supreme privilege of nurturing the faith and baptizing new believers. What will God call us to do next? Who can say? Only God knows. But when we gather together as one body and say, we trust, we believe, and we share, then no matter what the Lord calls us to do, with God with us, it isn't a matter of we think we can. We know we can. If you believe that God has a dream and a vision for you and for us as a church, I invite you to trust, to believe, to share what you have. Share in the vision and share in the ministry together as we grow in spirit, strength, and service, all for the glory of God.